Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right. Welcome to the Next Fan Up podcast. I am the Kansas City Chiefs Superfan, Nick. And if you're just joining us for the first time, you're going to probably hear some strange things over the next 45 minutes. But know that this is the podcast by the fans, for the fans. So we are a bit uncouth. Our opinions are a bit unfiltered. But, you know, we're the real fan voices. And so I am the Chiefs Superfan, and I am joined here by my arch enemy, Raiders Superfan Monty. How are you doing, Monty?
I'm doing great. Things are going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we're also very lucky to be joined by the Falcons superfan, Tim. What's up, Tim?
You know, I'm just enjoying this beautiful day that we've had in Atlanta today, and you know, really looking forward to not having a losing record right now. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah, not yet. I would even say you'll probably go like a good 6-7 months without losing a game.
Yeah, no, super looking forward to that. And, you know, it's kind of nice to think that that's what's going to happen. So, and, you know, chances are we may lose one less game this year with the preseason potentially changing.
Yeah, that's true. And we're going to get to that, and we're going to get to actually a lot of other issues on this particular podcast. We're also going to go through our Super Mock Draft from last year. It's something that's going to be coming up, and it's actually one of the most fun things we do on the Next Fan Up podcast, is because we have super fans representing almost every team in the NFL. We basically play GM, and we go through as a knowledgeable fan of every team. We go through an actual full mock draft and pick who we want, and we've been doing this now for several years, and so it's we're now at the point where we can look back, and it's really interesting to see. You know, kind of compare notes. Would we have been a better GM than our own team's GM? In some cases, I think that's actually the case. In some cases, we would have been, you know, absolute horrible disappointments for our own fan bases. But that's what's fun about it. And again, if you've just run into us just now, you can listen to all sorts of other commentary from us by going into blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. You can also find us on Twitter at NFUpodcast. And also on Facebook. We post a lot of text content there as well, including our individual to-do list for each of our teams. And so you can find that there by just going into Facebook and typing Next Fan Up Podcast into the search bar. We really enjoy engaging with fans on all the social medias. You can also email us your joy or anger to nextfanup@gmail.com. But so first off, I wanted to get into some of the things we've been hearing from the Combine, which has been going since the middle of last week. I'll be honest, as a Chiefs fan, we have so many, all our major free agency is going to be dominated by who we can re-sign, who we can't. And so therefore, it's really unclear what the Chiefs' holes are going to be going into the draft yet. And so I haven't paid that close attention of the actual individual performances. I've been mostly interested in what the GMs have been saying, but you know, we're all picking at various different levels of this thing. Is there anything in particular that stood out to you, Monty, that you were seeing?
My opinion is probably pretty jaded. I'm not very objective when it comes to the Combine. In fact, you could say that I hate the Combine. I hate the way that people get measured and tagged. And basically the number one reason is because Jamarcus Russell was a freak at the Combine. Everyone was talking about all of his measurables, quote unquote. And you know how that turned out for me. I'm still a little bit bitter. So, yeah, I mean, I keep an eye on it. It's hard not to. But at the end of the day, it's all just a bunch of, I don't know, just a bunch of stuff to fill some time from to get ready for the draft. So I guess I'm not too interested in it. The biggest thing for me was the linebacker out of Notre Dame. Sounds like his knee is pretty bad, and they don't know how soon it will be until he can come back and play.
We do tend to, there's a lot of prospects that come in here, and we basically, it boils down the sport of football into almost like the Olympics, and as if, you know, your aptitude and your abilities at every position can be broken down. But one guy who has been turning heads that seems to have improved his draft stock is Laremy Tunsil, the tackle. And, you know, he's just a massive dude. He's 6'5", 310 pounds. He didn't do the 40-yard dash or the bench press, but he looked great in all of the other drills. And it looks like, I mean, he's probably going to be the highest drafted non-quarterback, although Bosa might be in that discussion as well. But I think that's interesting that, you know, we're going to have at least one more high-ranked tackle. And I don't know. And it's one of those things, as a Chiefs fan, it also, I'm not sure what I think about it, just given looking back on our draft, when we had the first overall pick, we took a tackle who's ended up, you know, measurables were great. Looked like he had the strength. He was going to, you know, he was going to be a cornerstone forever. And look, I mean, the jury is still out, I think, to some extent on Eric Fisher, but he's just been average to slightly below average over the course of his time with the Chiefs. And same thing with Luke Jokel, who was taken right after him by the Jaguars. Granted, he's been mostly injured, but it's just interesting that you know, there is, you know, we have all this sense of this conventional wisdom of what's a safe pick, but there are no safe picks. I mean, even tackles can flame out on you.
Oh, I got burned on that too. There was a year the Raiders took Robert Gallery. He was the highest ranked offensive lineman on the board. He didn't even, I think they pushed him into guard towards the end. I mean, he's out of football in like 5 years, 7 years. It's a total crapshoot. It's difficult to say. And the thing that kind of amuses me is, you know, we all are watching NFL Network. We're all watching ESPN. None of these guys have any like ramifications for when they have terrible calls and they're telling you who's going to be good and who's going to suck. Next year, they're going to get a clean slate and they get to start all over from scratch, whether or not they were dead wrong or they missed on people. You know what I mean?
I like the exercise that we're going to be going through is testing ourselves on our mocks. But, you know, it's something that I really do wish that, you know, the Mel Kuypers of the world would be forced to go back and revisit their picks and see who they really screwed up on a bit more. And honestly, to give them an average, you know, of some kind of like what, you know, how they were picking in terms of busts and hits. I mean, part of the issue is that they're also trying to predict who the teams are actually going to take. And so even if it, you know, it may not be their most talented favorite players, it's sort of like who they think that each team is going to snag. But you know, overall, in terms of when we're talking about what we want to see out of players in the combine, one of the, at least the few basic things we'd like to see is we want to see the wide receivers show that they have some straight line speed. And what's interesting is this year, I mean, one of the few remarkable things that came out of this was that the wide receiver class was not impressive. It was out of the 43 wide receivers that were invited to the compound, six didn't run, including a couple of the top prospects in Laquon Treadwell and Corey Coleman. But of the 37 that did take their marks, only two broke 4.4, which was Will Fuller and Colby Listenbee. Reading this off of NFL.com. And Mike Mayock said that it was the slowest wide receiver class that he can remember, which, I mean, he's one of the draft guys I do listen to. I mean, that's pretty interesting. What were your takes on that, Tim?
You know, as I mentioned before, you know, the Falcons definitely need a wide receiver. So I'm kind of happy that a lot of the people that I was looking at specifically had not so great combines. You know, realistically, I'd love for us to get Braxton Miller. I think he fits, you know, what we'd like to do. And I feel like he could stretch the field along with Julio. But, you know, he only ran a 4.5, which was kind of surprising. You know, we were expecting him to be like 4.4, you know, and in that area. But, you know, I'm good with the fact that they came out a little slower because maybe, I don't know, maybe something's going on in Indianapolis where it's just slowing them down and you know, that's going to help me out. So, cause that just means that one of the better wide receivers is going to end up dropping because we can't spend an early pick on one. So I'll take it. But you know, as a whole, yeah, I mean, it's super surprising. The thing that drives me the craziest though, is when you have the interviews with the wide receivers and they're like, oh yeah, you know, I watch tape of, you know, this wide receiver, that wide receiver. I hate the ones that are like 6'1", 190. And they're like, oh yeah, I watch tape of Julio Jones. And I'm like, why? Like, how are you legitimately like trying to mimic him here? Like, say like you're mimicking Roddy White. Like, pick somebody who's average size and be like, yeah, I want to be like him. Not like, oh yeah, you know, my name is Tim Jester and I want to be like JJ Watt. I'm never going to be JJ Watt. I'm a tiny human being. Like, it's not happening. So like, it just drives me up a wall. Like, I was more disappointed than that, than the speeds. It's just how dumb some of these people are.
I'm happy the Raiders got their wide receiver last year with all the stuff people are saying. I mean, obviously they're picking middle of the draft, so they're not going to have a chance at Laquon Treadwell or some of the other top guys. But of all the positions that, you know, are weaker in this particular draft, I feel like the Raiders are doing okay at wide receiver and they can focus on some other areas.
Yeah, it also sets up well for the Chiefs because, I mean, we're probably going to have at least one of our defensive linemen hitting free agency and leaving. And we're not going to have the money to pay him. But it's a really great defensive line draft. And so, I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to be able to get themselves a cheap young replacement. It's interesting the way that the strengths of this class are. It does seem like the consensus is that it's an extremely deep and an extremely talented defensive front seven draft. Which is interesting given some of the Chiefs that are they're hitting free agency, but we'll see. One other thing I found interesting, and one reason why I do the one thing I sort of do pay attention to when it comes to the combine coverage is that most of the GMs are there and they will speak to the media. And it's most teams that their head coach has to talk to the media several times a week, but the GMs generally don't. We don't hear much from them at all during the season and get their thoughts on players that are currently on the team or that are, possibly hitting free agency. And the Broncos, as we mentioned in a lot of recent podcasts, they're heading into a really interesting offseason for themselves. And that not only do they have to find a way to pay Von Miller, who could quite possibly become the highest paid defensive player in the league, but they also have no quarterbacks, really. I mean, it does appear that Peyton Manning is going to retire, as he probably should. And their young heir apparent, Brock Osweiler, hasn't really proven a whole lot, but he has all the leverage given the fact they need to sign him. Otherwise, he's hitting free agency. And there's a lot of other quarterback-hungry teams who would probably like to grab him. And so what John Elway, the Broncos GM, said on Osweiler was pretty interesting. So what he said was, they've had a difficult time basically assessing Osweiler's value. He's only played in a few games. He's looked good. He's spent a lot of time in the system. But he said, when I look at where the salaries are with quarterbacks, it's either above $15 million or below $5 million. There's no middle class of quarterbacks. So that's where you hope you could get a fair deal with Brock's people and his representatives. And I think we'll be able to do that. But you never know. That's the toughest thing. And I find that interesting. And I, it's something we're always talking about, what quarterbacks are overpaid. I mean, it's something that, everyone's always saying that Alex Smith is overpaid and he's averaging about $17 million per year. But if you look at the actual quarterback contracts, I'm looking at overthecap.com here. It is true. There basically is no middle class. There are, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks that have a contract that is averaging them more than $20 million a year. And below that, you have, something like, that's the top 8 of the position in the NFL. And then the guys below $20 million a year, you're getting into the Ryan Tannehills, the Colin Kaepernicks, Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, Matt Stafford, Alex Smith, Peyton Manning, and down the line. I mean, guys like Carson Palmer are probably given their, he's given his team a good value at $16.5 million per year on average, but he's also doesn't obviously have that many years left. If they want to try to sign Brock Osweiler for somewhere around $7 million or less, I mean, I'll just list off the players that are making $7 million or less because it's almost all rookies. It is... we have Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Brian Hoyer, Blake Bortles, Josh McCown, Mark Sanchez, Chad Henne, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chase Daniel, etc. And basically, it is, if you want to get a quarterback for $7 million or less, it's backup money, or it's just because they're still on the rookie contract. If you're going to pay a quarterback starter money, you're going to have to pay them $15 million or more a year. And, I think the Broncos are going to try to talk away. Maybe they franchise tag Brock Osweiler, but it's, the market is what it is. And Monty, what do you think about what is Brock Osweiler worth, do you think, to them?
I think from everything that I've heard, that the franchise tags have to be in by Tuesday, and it doesn't sound like they're close with Von Miller. So it sounds like they're going to have to work something out with Brock Miller. And, I mean, I want to go to McDonald's and pay 50 cents for a Big Mac, but that's just not how much they cost. Like, just because John Elway wants to pay him a mid-level tier, like, that doesn't exist. Like, the salary cap just increased, which means every quarterback that comes up is going to get paid more. Like, Brock Osweiler is going to make $20 million a year for the next 3 years, and we'll find out if he's worth it or not. We only saw half of a season of him playing, and, I agree with the horse mouth man, John Elway. He's probably not worth $20 million a year, but that's what he's going to get. That's the position. I mean, you can't negotiate something that doesn't exist. Like, there's no way you're going to get a starting quarterback Brock Osweiler has all the leverage. What are they going to do? Not sign him and then pick a quarterback at 32 or 31, I guess? It's just not going to happen.
And Tim, it's interesting because your quarterback, Matt Ryan, is in that $20 million club. He's averaging apparently $20 million and $750,000 a year in his contract. Is he worth that to you? And what do you think Brock is worth?
Truth be told, I don't know what Brock is worth. I mean, you know, while he was in, he was okay, but he wasn't great. And then Peyton came back. So, you know, it's hard to say, oh, that guy got benched for Peyton Manning. You know, he's obviously not very good, but Peyton was garbage at the end of the year. So, you know, if Brock isn't as good as what Peyton Manning was, then he's not worth big money. And realistically, you know, let him walk. I mean, where's he going to go? There's not very many teams that are going to pay, you know, a massive amount of money for him. So he's going to end up having to sign, you know, like a $12 million contract somewhere in there. And I know that we haven't seen those, but just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean that it's not going to exist. Or, you know, he ends up on like a Colin Kaepernick style contract where it looks like a massive amount of money, but there's so many incentives that he has to reach in order to get paid. You know, that's something that's possible as well. As far as whether or not Matt Ryan's worth $20 million, I don't want to say it because then it's going to be recorded and you guys are going to be able to hold it against me forever and I'll never be able to complain about him again. Matt Ryan is worth every penny we give him because I really don't want to say it. Oh, it's not his fault that we're in the position we're in. It's not. There's been too much turnover with offensive coordinators. Kyle Shanahan has no idea what he's doing. The offensive line is hot, wet garbage. Yeah, he makes some mistakes, but show me a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, and you know I'll show you that you're not watching the same game that I am. So that's what the market is, and salary caps keep going up, and we signed him at a good time. Matt Ryan is good. He is smart. And legitimately, I think the Falcons can win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan, so he's worth every penny we give him.
Well, and there's been news or at least reports about a few other quarterbacks that may be hitting the market here. And that's, for one, it's Sam Bradford, we're getting, you know, kind of leaks on both sides of this talks that maybe they're getting a little bit closer to re-signing him. I mean, he's another guy I find really difficult to value. He's going to make money somewhere, though. I mean, someone's going to be willing to pay him a lot of money. And also with Colin Kaepernick, Chip Kelly, the 49ers new coach, did come out and on Thursday said it was sort of the first time they'd really addressed it was that he thinks that Kaepernick does want to be there. And it said that there's never been any question really about whether or not they would bring him back. And within days, maybe even hours, Colin Kaepernick and his agent and his team said that they are trying to push for a trade. And so, you know, he may be, you know, hitting the market in a trade. I mean, we still haven't seen the Robert Griffin III shoe drop. And also in Philadelphia, there's talks that, you know, that sort of their plan B with Sam Bradford is maybe trading and bringing Nick Foles back, which would just be hilarious. So, I mean, obviously you guys both have, you have established starters, you have franchise quarterbacks. But of those names that are sort of floating out there, if you're one of those QB needy teams, does any of them get you excited at all?
Well, I think of the Houston Texans team as like the premier team, right? They won their division. Their defense is good. They've got a top wide receiver. They just need a quarterback. So if I was a Texans fan, would I want either of those guys? And I guess the answer is yes. Like, I would rather have a Sam Bradford or Colin Kaepernick than a Brian Hoyer, just because I've seen those guys win. I've seen them win playoff games. So if you surround them with the right pieces, I mean, I definitely do. Whether or not they're going to make the Matt Ryan money, $20 million a year, that remains to be seen. But I just think that's the going rate for a quarterback. But if it was me and, you know, my team needed a quarterback and we were right there on the cusp, I would take either of those guys. I've seen them win playoff games. Well, other than Bradford, I guess. I take that back. Bradford, I've never really seen him win anything, but he's got to be better than Brian Hoyer. That's really the question. Are these guys better than what you have? So if you're the Cleveland Browns, the answer is probably yes. Then you can focus your draft on other positions.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, but I mean, if I'm one of those quarterbacks, I'm not going to Cleveland. I'm not.
Well, if you get traded there, you don't have a choice, I suppose. But, yeah. I think retire at 27. It's nice when you have that option.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of these guys, I mean, like Kaepernick and RG3, people have connected them at times to the Chiefs because they just think, you know, Andy Reid would, you know, they have a skill set that Andy Reid would be able to find some production out of. He might be able to fix them the way that he was able to get some really good production out of Michael Vick at the end of his career. I don't know. I find it hard to see just because the Chiefs are pretty, I mean, if they're going to re-sign the guys they need to re-sign, they're going to be up against the cap. I think they need a new backup for Alex Smith, but I think he showed that he can be our guy last season, and I don't think that, you know, things are going to be helped by bringing a guy who's sort of a known quantity, but also would create a bit of a controversy there. But speaking of something that I don't think is going to be controversial among the three of us, is that Deadspin had a report out that the NFL Competition Committee has had lengthy discussions about maybe shortening the preseason, you know, trimming it down to 3 games. What do you guys think about that? I mean, how much do you enjoy watching preseason games?
I don't think anyone enjoys watching preseason games, but I just don't see a scenario where the owners are going to give up 10% of their concession and parking revenue unless there's another way for them to make up that money elsewhere. I just have never seen the owners or the NFL do anything that would cause them to not make money. They charge money for like fan day at like the Super Bowl week. Like there isn't one aspect of the NFL that they don't make money off of. And preseason, there's 10 games a season, 10 home games, unless you make the playoffs, and there's no way they're going to give that up unless there's another plan in place to make it up. And I don't see that. I mean, they're shipping the Raiders down to Mexico to try to expand the market. They're definitely not doing that because it's the best thing for the team, right? Flying down to Mexico is probably not the best product you're going to put out there. They're just trying to make as much money, they're squeeze as much blood as they can from the turnip. So it seems to be a story every season. They talk about, you know, players don't want to play that many games. The preseason sucks. Nobody likes it. How do we fix it? And then nothing ever happens.
All right, folks. So we're now going to turn to our 2015 Super Mock Draft. This was, it's interesting. Actually, this draft turned out very similar to the way our actual teams drafted for the most part. But it's fun looking back into it, seeing, you know, who are those, you know, first round guys seem to work out well for this team or that team, and imagine, you know, how it might have been different. We'll be going through even further back drafts over the next several shows to give you guys a sense of who would have been a better GM for our team than our team's GM itself. Also, you will notice that Tim is sounding a little bit different now. He had a bit of a mishap. Would you like to go into that, Tim?
Yeah, I really didn't want to tell everybody that I dropped my water bottle on my laptop, so now I'm called in on my phone because my laptop's broken. But if you're going to bring it up and just be that guy, Nick, then yeah. Hi, this is Tim, your Atlanta Falcons superfan. I made the second mistake of my life right behind being a Falcons fan, and I poured water on my laptop. Thanks, bro.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
All right, so let's jump into this. What's interesting... I don't know. Maybe it's not interesting. I mean, the given all of the speculation that the way that the top of the draft was going to go, it largely went the way that we expected, with our Buccaneers superfan and Titans superfan picking Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, respectively. They both got those quarterbacks, and you know, it seems like, you know, both were more or less hits. I mean, we will see as they develop. But they both showed definitely enough promise in their first years for those teams to be happy with those two picks. The next two ones involve Monty here, because next was the Jacksonville Jaguars, who took Leonard Williams rather than Dante Fowler, who the Jaguars took in real life. I mean, Fowler, Dante Fowler blew out his knee in minicamp before the season even started. So we don't yet know whether that was a good pick, but Leonard Williams played very well for the Jets. Any thoughts on these first three picks before we get into yours, Monty?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly kind of the way everyone on TV was saying it was going to go. We knew the two quarterbacks were going to go. Everyone had the grades on Leonard Williams to be the best player in this draft. So during our mock draft, when Jacksonville Jaguars superfan took Williams, I wasn't shocked. But, yeah, I was kind of hoping for Leonard Williams to fall down to Oakland or one of the quarterbacks, because with so many holes going into last year, I wanted to trade back. The 1 year when Reggie McKenzie was on the clock and he traded back into his first draft, traded back, ended up taking DJ Hayden, which is kind of a bust, but he did get some more draft picks, and that's kind of the move that I was hoping that he would make last year. I also took Amari Cooper in our mock draft. All reports were, and he kind of lived up to all expectations his rookie year. To be honest, though, the night of the draft, I'm glad I'm not the Raiders GM, because I would have probably taken Leonard Williams. Not to say that he's not good or not as good as Amari Cooper, but he's a defensive tackle, and, you know, he'd definitely make more of an impact as a wide receiver than a defensive tackle. So that particular night, I was kind of hoping for Leonard Williams. When they took Amari Cooper, totally happy. That's who I had taken two in our mock draft, and he's a stud. I can make all the AC/DC references. Him and Derek Carr are going to be joined at the hip for the next 10 years. I think our mock draft kind of went as planned. In the real life draft, I don't know why Leonard Williams fell all the way down. I don't know if anyone had heard anything or what had gone on that day, but the rumor he was going to go number one overall, he ended up falling to like six, I think, to the Jets, right?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest surprises I remember, at least in the top 10, was that Leonard Williams tumbled a bit. I mean, he didn't go far. It must have just been a scheme thing, or maybe the fact that he's an interior defensive lineman as opposed to a pass rusher. They tend to not be viewed as such premium positions, but I don't know. In our own mock draft, beyond your pick, Washington picked up Dante Fowler, so he also didn't fall far. I mean, those were practically switched, because the Jets took Leonard Williams in real life. In our draft, they took Kevin White. I did want to mention that Washington, though. What's interesting is, I mean, Washington probably could use a better pass rush, and obviously, who knows whether Fowler is going to be that guy. But our Washington superfan Neil, he did write in to us because he was not the Washington superfan around this time last year. You will notice the change in voices and accents, if you've noticed the buttery Scottish accent of our very own Neil. But he said, he didn't know, why the ex-Washington superfan picked picked Fowler, but he said, like, the Washington fans, himself included, love Brandon Scherff. 1,069 offensive snaps, which is 99.8% of their offensive snaps, and he got better and better and set the tone on the inside of the line as the year went on. So, I mean, he's happy with his lineman that he took in the top five. And we'll see if we end up with a lineman in the top five this year. Moving on beyond the Jets, so they got Kevin White, who was injured basically all year. I'm betting that the Jets superfan Andrew would have been happy to take Leonard Williams if he was on the board, but he wasn't. And then we move on to the Bears took defensive tackle Danny Shelton, who in real life fell pretty far. He fell down to 12 with the Browns and didn't have a particularly good season. And right after that, we come to Tim, who grabbed Vic Beasley. How are you feeling about that pick now, Tim?
Yeah, no, I was stoked. Vic Beasley's who I've wanted for 2 years. So when he fell to me in the mock draft, like I felt like I was going to be like the insufferable guy that was like, ha ha ha, I got the dude I wanted. Because that never happens. You never, like, unless you have the first pick, you never really get the exact guy that you want. And it actually happened for me where I got exactly the guy that I wanted. And, you know, to find out that, you know, the draft is going, you know, the actual draft, and then Vic Beasley comes to us, and, you know, I was absolutely stoked. It's everything that I wanted. You know, was he as good his rookie year as everyone was expecting? No. But, you know, towards the end, like, he showed signs of legitimate brilliance there. And, I mean, especially in the game against Carolina's first loss, or only regular season loss, like, he made Cam Newton frustrated. And, you know, the strip sack at the end of the game, you know, is one of my favorite Falcons moments of all time, because as difficult as this year was, like, having Carolina come to Atlanta and us to beat them in that kind of fashion after they embarrassed us in Charlotte was amazing. And, you know, a lot of that was Vic Beasley.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It's interesting, you know, as happy as you are with your pick, I'm betting that right after you, our own New York Giants fan, Sam, is probably not as happy that he picked Randy Gregory. Gregory ended up falling, let's see, all the way to the, wow, where did he fall? He fell all the way to the second round, didn't he? The Cowboys at pick number 60. And he's been, so far, pretty bad, mostly with off-the-field stuff, but it definitely was not I'm sure he would not be happy if that's what they got out of their ninth overall pick. And right after that was the Rams, who picked Brandon Scherff, you know, the guy who the tackle guard who went to the Redskins. And I think it's interesting. You look at those two because, you know, the Giants ended up picking Eric Flowers, a tackle themselves, who didn't do a whole lot this year. But particularly if you look at the Rams, if they didn't have Todd Gurley this year, I mean, I just don't even know how they would have even moved the ball, let alone score points.
Tavon Austin is playing pretty good. I mean, they get him the ball in space, like a little punt returner out there, but their offense as a whole is pretty brutal to watch.
It'll be really interesting to see how they do. They're the first team in a long time that has moved from one location to the other. And obviously, you know, the teams that are always, you know, that actually make those sort of franchise moves, they're generally not, you know, big playoff teams to begin with, and the Rams certainly aren't right now. But it'll be interesting to see if they're able to put out a palatable product for Angelinos next year. But moving on, our Minnesota Vikings superfan nailed it with Trey Waynes. That's exactly who the Vikings picked. And then the Browns took Brad Dupree, Alvin Dupree, Bud Dupree. And I'll be honest, I didn't watch a whole lot of him this year. I do know that they weren't too happy with what they got out of Danny Shelton. But Bud Dupree, I mean,
he got drafted by Pittsburgh and was fairly underwhelming, to be completely honest.
He did drop.
I mean, he played ball at Kentucky. Like, you don't draft someone from Kentucky in the first round. This isn't basketball.
Yeah, we will see. The Steelers did pick him up at 22. We'll see if he turns into something for them. That was followed by the Saints picking our Saints superfan picking up Shane Ray, who fell all the way down to the Broncos. And actually, probably of the pass rushers, I mean, he had one of the best seasons, even though he was basically a rotational guy behind Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. He looks like he's going to be the guy who's going to fill in for Ware at some point in the next couple of years. So that actually, you know, imagine the Saints being able to get him.
I think with Von Miller getting triple teamed all the time, like, he had better show up and make some plays. So, I mean, if he'd gotten picked up by the Browns, I don't know if he'd be as impactful, is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, that's my thought process on it as well, because Shane Ray was one of the people rumored that the Falcons were looking at last year. And, you know, I mean, I didn't see it. I don't think, you know, statistically, yeah, he had a better year than Vic Beasley, but Beasley's the only thing we had on our defensive line. And, I mean, Shane Ray isn't as good as that. I mean, it was completely, he benefited by being in that system with the people that he was in the system with.
And so, next, we had the Miami Dolphins, who, you know, Dolphin Dave picked up Devontae Parker, and that's who they picked in real life, and was followed by the Chargers ended up grabbing, here we go. They picked up a center, Cam Irving, and I can't say that would have made a huge difference, because the guy they did take in Melvin Gordon, he really didn't show up this year. It was a bit of a surprise.
The whole Chargers team, though, was injured, so I'm not quite ready to write off Melvin Gordon. I know that he fumbled a little bit and he was kind of in the doghouse, but all the receivers, they were picking up dudes off the street and asking them to go run nine routes. I mean, let's give the Chargers a kind of a reset button and see how they do this year. I hate Phillip Rivers as much as the next guy, but he did not have much talent.
Yeah, and then we come to my pick, and I think I was probably the only person in the Superfan Supermock draft who picked a guy with a first-round pick who went undrafted. Granted, it was obviously a kind of an extreme situation in terms of tackle Lyle Collins, who you know, just had, you know, one of the worst twists of fate that, you know, that you can have as a promising young athlete, in that he was being interviewed as, I think even the term that it was just person of interest, or maybe not even that, maybe just a witness, in the death of his girlfriend, if I remember correctly. And that was still, and this was like a week before the draft, and that was just enough, given some of the recent scandals, that absolutely no GM wanted to touch him. He dropped all the way out of the draft from being considered to be a mid-round, first-round pick, maybe even a high first-round pick, to being out of the draft. The Chiefs, you know, they could have definitely used tackle help this year. And actually, Lyle Collins, I mean, he played very well for the Cowboys. So, I mean, he was definitely a good pick as an undrafted free agent in that weird sweepstakes that occurred with everyone trying to court him after the draft, even though at least someone should have thrown a seventh rounder at him. But I definitely can't complain about the way the Chiefs did go with it, with Marcus Peters, who's, you know, defensive rookie of the year. But what do you guys, you know, what do you think year on? What do you think this could still happen to a guy where, you know, just one bad report comes out on him and he falls all the way out of the draft?
For sure.
I mean, that Collins' like team came out and said that if he didn't get drafted in the first round, that he wasn't going to sign and he was just going to wait a year. So, like, I mean, that kind of scare is going to scare a team off from spending any type of pick on him. So, you know, I mean, yeah, something like that could legitimately happen. Does it happen often? No. I mean, it's crazy to think that it even happened at all. But, I mean, I can see it happen, especially, like, it seems like so many players are getting in just stupid trouble these days. Like, I don't understand, like, how they don't have babysitters on them constantly. But, I mean, I've gone down that ramp before, so I'm going to spare all of you.
Looking over at the draft, too, and right before the Kansas City Chiefs picked, the Houston Texans superfan ended up taking Todd Gurley in our mock draft. And, you know, I'm sure that all Texans fans would be pretty stoked if they had offensive rookie of the year on their team. It's kind of interesting to see if that had played out. But just one thing of note that we kind of glossed over on our way to the Chiefs pick.
Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself there. But, yeah, no, it's interesting. That would have actually set them up really well for the injury to who's their running back that they've been riding
Foster.
For the last? Exactly, Adrian Foster. You know, if they had Todd Gurley just waiting in the wings for when Arian Foster inevitably got injured that year, I mean, that would have definitely affected their season. In our draft, in our parallel universe, the Browns also picked up defensive tackle Malcolm Brown, and the Eagles picked Landon Collins, the safety. In reality, the Browns themselves picked up Cam Irving, and the Eagles picked up Nelson Agholor, who ended up being basically, you know, one of their only productive receivers this year.
I picked up Nelson Agholor in a dynasty draft, and man, I'm really kind of hoping that he has a better year. He didn't show up in the stat sheet. He may have been a good player like in real life football, but he was a non-factor in any fantasy, even his deep dynasty league that I play in. So I'm hoping better things are ahead and they figure out their quarterback situation pronto.
Yeah, so then the Bengals, sorry, we had a trade here, which has confused me. The Bengals then picked up Ereck Flowers, the tackle. And again, like we said, with you know, he in reality got drafted by the Giants and was sort of a non-factor this year, but who knows, he's a young guy. The Steelers picked up TJ Clemmings, also a tackle. And the Lions picked up Andres Pete, also a tackle, who in reality went earlier to the Saints. It's interesting we had a run on tackles there among those teams that all basically needed it. I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with the Lions, but that seemed to be the biggest thing that turned them around during the season was the fact that they were not able to protect their quarterback at all. And that really had a big impact. I mean, they themselves took Laken Tomlinson, the guard out of Duke in the real draft, but still that whole offensive line is still a huge work in progress.
The Lions will never be a factor until they get a new coach. I'm not a Caldwell believer.
Yeah, he's definitely not the most emotive coach on the sidelines. One thing that's interesting is that, you know, Melvin Gordon, he didn't do much for the Chargers last year, but in our super mock draft, he fell down to the Cardinals. And, you know, with the stable of backs, they were able to get a lot of production out of a lot of those guys. I'd kind of like to see Melvin Gordon running routes, catching balls, taking handoffs from an Arians coached offense.
I totally agree with you. I think he's got that skill set, but I got to think that the Cardinals fan base is pretty happy with that big Johnson kid that they got. Their rookie running back last year had a pretty good season, so I think they're feeling pretty good all the way around.
Yeah, and they themselves took Shaq Thompson, an outside linebacker. As I remember, he had a good year as well. So it all worked out. The Panthers took Doriel Green Beckham, the knucklehead who did nothing for the Titans last year. But nonetheless, I mean, who knows? Maybe they could have gotten some more wide receiver production out of that guy, as they definitely needed it throughout the year. And then moving on, I mean, Jalen Strong, who ended up falling to the third round in real life, was picked up by the Ravens, which is interesting. And the Cowboys got Marcus Peters, who I'm sure they would have been happy with that. In terms of where a lot of these other guys fell, it's no one from us on the on the podcast, but there's some interesting ones that ended up here and there. And one of those is Breshad Perriman, who also is another one of those, you know, big guys from this list that unfortunately got injured and basically didn't make any impact in this last year. But he's a speedster wide receiver, and he was picked up by the New York Jets.
I guess even in the mock draft, I thought that was kind of an odd pick. The Jets have good, like Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall are solid. But, I mean, maybe he just was such a believer in Perriman, who we have yet to see how good he's going to be. I mean, maybe he just thought he was that good, he couldn't pass him up. I don't know.
All right. Well, that brings us basically to the end of the first round. Patrick, who wanted to be on with us this evening, he couldn't quite make it, but the Patriots ended up picking up defensive tackle Eddie Goldman from Florida State. I don't know, what he ended up doing, but hopefully it was worthwhile. I hope you folks have enjoyed it. We are the Next Fan Up podcast. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/NextFanUp, on Twitter at NFU Podcast, and on Facebook if you search for us in the search bar. If anyone were to want to talk some smack about Falcons cornerbacks, where could they do that, Tim?
They can do that at home by themselves, because there's no Falcons corners that you should even be picking on. So nice try attempting to get me riled up. But if you want to get at me and try to tell me that Desmond Trufant is overrated, I will smack you in the face via Twitter at Tim is hiding. I really should change it because I'm not hiding. I'm not scared of any of you people. So I just think it's fun. But yeah, get at me with your hot takes at Tim is hiding, and I'll argue any team, or I'll just forget to check my mentions for several weeks, and then I'll get back to you, and you'll be like, what is he even talking about? So I'm good about that.
He's pretty tough as long as you keep open glasses of water away from him.
Hey, no. Look, I spilled an open glass of water on my computer, called in, continued the podcast, and then fixed my computer while I was podcasting. What's up, ladies? I get that kind of multitasking. I don't understand why I'm single. Legitimately.
We may never know. Anyways, Monty, if there's anyone out there other than me that wants to troll you about some of your delusional ideas on the Raiders, where could they do that?
I'm on Twitter at Monsadius, just the way it sounds. You just keep searching until you see the Tecmo Bowl, Bo Jackson spiking a football. You know you got the right guy, and fire away. The arrow is pointing up for the Raiders. I'm ready to take on all smack talk.
And if any of you actually out there are interested in joining this this mess of fans talking over each other and threatening physical harm to one another, in the case of Tim, we are looking for super fans for several teams. If you haven't heard from one of us in a while, there's a good chance that spot is open. So the best way to get in touch with that, to send in your application, show us how much you know about your team and what your ideas for that team are, is to email us at nextfanup@gmail.com. And as always, listen for our shows. We're always pretty much coming out on pretty much always Monday and Thursday in the afternoon. And on Thursday, we frequently have guests, and it is hosted by the great Pod Vader. Anyways, this was me, Chiefs fan Nick, and there we have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is 4 quarters long.
Well, I'm not sure if we're going to get Tim back. You just call in, it'd be fine, I think.
I think spilling water on his computer is like his go-to move. He probably just got a text from one of those ladies and was like, all right, I got to get out of here. Talking about the combo.
Yeah. Not... Awkward, right? Talking shit. When I can hear you. No, I legitimately spilled water on my computer, and now my Wi-Fi and my Bluetooth are dead.
Nice. But,
yeah, and I have like one of the MacBook Airs that like you can't open. So I can't get in there and, like, dry it out. Like, I've got to just wait and hope for the best.
You, like, put it in rice? Put it in, like, a big thing of rice or something?
I don't have that much rice. Do you have enough rice to put a 15-inch laptop in just hanging out at your apartment?
I like ramen. Shit, man. Break open some ramen packet.
I make good money. I don't just have ramen either.